Hi, everybody. This is Jim with optionprofessor.com, and I'm going to be giving you some details on a wide number of things that we watch here at optionprofessor.com today. Quick background on myself. I'm a graduate of Boston College and attended postgraduate work at UCLA. I've been in the investment arena now for many, many decades. I have given seminars on the uses and risks of options to thousands and thousands of people over the years. And basically, I have been very well aware of all different types of investing. So I'm going to share my opinions and my observations with you here today. I'm also going to go over some of the different technical indicators I look at and also some of the ways I approach different things. Okay. Can't recommend anything to anybody. So really, this is all opinion and observation as far as I'm concerned. I am going to go over a lot of the pharma stocks that seem to be in the news lately. You know, we had the GameStops and we had the AMCs and all the rest of them. And, you know, as I was telling people, having been in this thing a long time, the way these things plan out is this. You get a squeeze, you get all the shorts that are going to cover, you get all the people that are going to buy calls who have bought calls. Somebody has faded all that action. And what happens is it falls under its own weight. We've seen this happen many times in history, going back 40 years to when the Hunt brothers, the things happen is the exchange changes rules because they're not going to obviously go out of business because people are speculating. And so they all fall down. And that's exactly what's happened this week to GameStop. So obviously the play would have been is either on the XRT to look at some puts or to try to do some puts on GameStop, even if they are far out of the money, because the darn things dropped 80% this week. And obviously you could have done out of the money puts even on a spread basis and made out pretty good. So people who subscribe to our newsletter, you know, they understand all this, and that's the kind of information we provide. Not crazy information, but information of if we see crazy, we know how to react to it. Okay. So again, let me go through the markets here real quick with you so you get an idea of what I'm seeing. The S&P on a longer term basis, this is a 10-year graph. Again, the moving average, and this is a short-term average, comes in around 3,400. So our feeling is that whether it be from here or 4,000, we are going to go down towards a fairly substantial drop at some point, simply because the market is ahead of itself on the fundamentals. And again, all the stuff as far as the vaccine and the stimulus is probably not going to all shake out the way people think. So again, the beginning of the year, you get a stampede of people buying. Why? Because they got 401k money and IRA money and all kinds of people telling them, hey, you didn't make any money in stock last year. You got to invest. Then they look at money market and they can see they can't make any money. So they plow in. Somebody's fading this as people are buying it. So you got to remember, there's always got to be a buyer or seller. So if the prices are very high and if they're very extended and you're buying, somebody's selling it, and only time will tell who's got the better deal. But just using your common sense, selling an extended market that has gone way, way through the roof, you know, generally may favor the seller. At any rate, right now, we're at a very key area, because if we can get through this area of, well, let me show you why there's some danger here. This is the RSI, okay, Relative Strength Index, and it is not supposed to be not making new highs when you're making new highs. So you see how we made a high here on RSI back, let's see where that would be. These highs were made in 2018. And you remember the big drop we got in 2018 in the fourth quarter, 25% drop? Well, why did we do that? You see the new high up here at the end of 2018 in the October timeframe, August, September, October. Okay. Well, look where the RSI was here. There's your high on RSI, and here's your high, and it's way lagging behind. And you got a 25% drop in the market. Now, worse yet, we went up in January of 2020 up to 3,400, right? And then let's check out the RSI a little bit. RSI, totally lagging. You see, you had a higher high and a lower RSI, and you got a dump. And then you got a new high, and look at the RSI. No way it's a new high. And then you got a dump. So the danger right here is we've made a really big new high, and the RSI is still pretty much about flat from where it was. When it hit this high up here, it looks like the RSI was in the 70 area, 67 area, and that's pretty much where it is now. So again, that sometimes means that this move up here was done not on the greatest volume or maybe on short covering or anything like that. Okay. So there's some danger there. Now, let me show you on a short-term basis what I saw here on the monthly graph. Okay. There was a gap that we had right up in this neighborhood here of around, let me see if I can see a better graph here. Yeah. These aren't showing quite as much as, let's see if it on the 5-day. Yeah, no. All right. Anyway, if you had another graph, you'd notice that we were having a gap between 3840 and 3850. So we filled that today and we closed above it. That should be be very, very positive for the market. And of course, you know, this drop to 36.50 that we saw over the weekend, some people were thinking that we are now in a wave three. So a wave three is always very powerful. It's supposed to blow out the high, which it just did, and it's supposed to be very powerful. But the key to this wave three is going to be, can we hold above this 38.50 area? And if we can't, then this is kind of a fake out on the three, and we could still go back down. So again, another reason why we're a little concerned here, if you look at the monthly graph, is that you are making a brand big new high, but your RSI is not making a brand new high. So there's not a huge divergence there, but there's enough to be concerned. So if you start seeing the market getting under 38.40, can you see this 38.44 number? If it gets under there, that would be problematic. If it gets under 3,800, that's your second flag. And if we get under 37.40, 37.50 down here, that would be your third. So your first line in the sand is this 38.40 area and then 3,800. As long as you stay above those two levels, again, be constructive because the market is looking good. But I think there's some warning signs out here, and I don't know if this jobs report tomorrow is going to instigate it. But with this kind of a setup, if you got a bad jobs report that they're surprised about, or there's a big delay on the stimulus, or the stimulus is going to be cut from 1.9 trillion to 700 billion, you know, I don't know that the market's prepared for all that. And there has been some aftermarket selling going on some of the big popular stocks. So we did see Snap, come down. We saw Peloton come down in the aftermarket. And so from that standpoint, there has been some changes as far as that's concerned. Let me see something here. Okay. So anyway, that's the story on the S&P. Let's look at the QQQ for you. On the QQQs. Breaking out to new highs a little bit here. So obviously everything looks fine, but again, this is on a 1 month basis. Again, the RSI is not making new highs. And again, 326 would be an area. There's a gap down there. So just be careful to see that we do follow through. If we don't follow through, you always have to be concerned that this is kind of a false breakout and it could come back down. Again, the RSI looks very strong. It's above 50, looks great. But again, if you look at the longer term graphs on some of this stuff, and this is a short term average that I'm using, you are pretty extended above the number. And when you're extended above the number, sometimes you do come back down. And again, the RSI is very extended here, way into the blue area. So, the markets are extended. You have to be somewhat careful. But again, you can't fight the tape. So again, the tape looks good. The markets are up, but keep an eye on things. Under 326 would be a good place to be concerned if you're short-term trading. Let me see here. Okay. Turning towards the gold market, that really got hit very hard here, and I thought it'd be worthwhile to cover it with you. The gold market, let's see. Okay, can you see on a longer term basis, it has broken down underneath its average there, and the RSI is it's getting down towards 60 anyway. Turning towards a three-year deal here. You can see on the three-year deal, it's breaking down. And you can see here, the RSI is pointing down. So that's not good. And then basically, what else do you have here? You've got a one-year situation. Again, looks like a nice breakdown. And the RSI is breaking down as well. So the line in the sand you want to defend against, if you're bullish, is this 1775 area, 1765, which it has held so far. And so far, but what we've been telling people is as simple as this. If gold can't get above 1960, you see, and hold, you can't make a ton of money on it as far as if you're going to hold it for the big, big gain above 2000. So our feeling has been when gold gets above 1960, give us a call because that's when you open up the doors for 2000, 2500, 2300, whatever it's going to go to. Otherwise, it's such a popular market. It had so many people jump into it at 2100. The whole world is negative on the dollar. The whole world thinks there's going to be a big inflationary scare. And quite frankly, all that stuff may not occur. And if it doesn't occur, then this stuff can't get going. Now, again, I'm all aware of the fiat currency and I'm all aware of all the rest of it. But again, the price tells the story. And the big thing that told the story to us is that the mining shares stink and they never really confirmed the rally. I'll show you why. You save a lot of money if you don't jump in with a crowd sometimes. Where are you here on the gold miners? You can see this thing ran up to 45 bucks, but let's look at the 10-year situation on it. The last time gold went to 1900. This stuff went already up to $65 a share, $67 a share. Look at a rally this time. It only went to $45. Okay. So I was saying to people at this point, somebody's wrong here. Either the gold at 2100 is wrong, or this stuff is going to play a big game of catch up, which made the mining shares look a lot better to us than the gold, actually. And the mining shares did have a run. Let's not say it didn't. They went from $10 to $40. That's four times on your money since 2016. Even in the last year after March, the big drop down to $15 gave you three times on your money going to $45. Nothing wrong with that. And the RSI is still good. So the way we're thinking is this. If the gold does hold 1775, that would be a good thing. But if it doesn't, it probably goes into the 1600s. Now, this thing here can stay above $30, ballpark figure. It's still a good deal because the RSI is still above here. So again, on the gold shares, again, between here and $30 is very interesting. And keeping this RSI above 50 is interesting because, you know, when you're in a down market, that RSI tends to be under 50 the whole time, right? And when the thing looks pretty good, it tends to get above 50. Goes sideways and holds 50, that's not bad. Dips down for a little bit, but once it got back above 50, pretty much you got your buy signal here at about $20, and you've been making money on it ever since. Now, when the market gets way up here, what we tend to ask people to do, or not do, but consider and look into, is selling calls and buying puts. It's called a collar strategy. Now, you don't want to do your defensive tactics after it drops, no more than you'd want to buy flood insurance after Katrina hits. You want to do it into strength when the calls are fat and the puts would be cheaper. So up here, you sell the call $50, you buy the put at $40, and now at $33, you've got insurance at $40, and you didn't pay for it out of your pocket because it really came out of the premium you sold at the higher strike. So that's a collar. Sell the call above, and then you buy your put, and then you're hedged on the way down. Same thing with silver. You know, we try to warn people on silver this week too. You know, when they run it through the roof because they say they're going to squeeze the market, that's not the greatest time to buy into silver. We were very constructive in our newsletter on silver when it broke above 18, and then we said add to it at 20, and then we thought it would be a big rally, and it went all the way to 30. Now, when the silver hit 30 and the gold hit 21, it was pretty darn obvious. You see, when the moving averages are down here, and now you're looking at the price up at 30, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. It's going to come back towards the averages, which is what it did. So when it came back to 21, we took another bite because it's close to the average. And then it came back down here to 23. It's close to the average. This $24 area is very important as far as I can see. Somewhere, you know, plus or minus 25 cents off $24. That's the neighborhood that if you could buy it again there, that might not be bad. Today it bounced off this area here, which is 26. And you can see why there's high points there. Let's bring it into a shorter term one like the 1 year. Yeah, can you see here? You got congestion there. So that's why it bounced today. And that was a good place to trade against. But like I say, it could just be a little bit of a bounce and we could be going down to test the more big support right there at 24. But longer term, you know, you got silver is one of the better deals in our view because of the solar panels, right? And because that gold to silver ratio got to 100 to 1. 100 to 1 is a joke. You know, silver to gold ratio well over 100. And so that's why they've been trying to buy into the silver because there is a better value there as far as economics. And now the gold to silver ratio is in the 60s. Another market in the precious metals that people don't talk about much is platinum. And again, it is another industrial metal and it is 10 times rarer than gold at least. And they say all the platinum in the world could fit into, I guess, an Olympic sized swimming pool and only cover your ankles, whereas the supplies of gold are much, much greater. So again, I'm looking at longer term graphs on this to give you the flavor on are we seeing a big turn? And you take a look at the graph and you let me know what you think. And there you go. So this thing used to be 2200. Then it was at 1800 and it came all the way down to $600. Obviously, that was a panic low, great time to buy in March. But look, it tends to be above 800. And then once it gets above 1000, it's, you know, it can stay above 1000 maybe. And the bottom line is where's the real estate? The real estate looks like it's all north. So this is one that I think is much better. It's not crowded. It's a little bit thinly traded. So if they ever discover it with all these chat rooms, it could get going. And again, I think it has a better story than some of the other metals, which have already had a big run. And so I think we're thinking along the lines that there could be value here because we think that's a major trend that turned up. Looking at a shorter term deal, like on the 1 year, it's had a big move. It could pull back. Again, if it pulls back, we like this 1000 area ballpark as a good support area if it does pull back further. So again, the precious metals. The other thing, you know, we've enjoyed is crude and the energy market. Again, it got to be minus $37 a barrel. I mean, is it going to get any cheaper than that? And so that's shut down a lot of the of supplies. Fracking, rig counts went down, etc. Now, who's going to invest in oil when everybody is going electric? Okay, not too many people. So the idea that the supplies may remain tight is a very reasonable idea, which means that you could be looking at a good, I'll give you an ETF that we watch. This is the Vanguard Energy ETF. And it looks like it might be going someplace. And it has a dividend, you know, that pays you good money while you're waiting. And what are you waiting for? You're waiting for demand to come back after the virus, and you're looking for supplies to remain tight. Well, again, to get supplies, you have to invest money, which means there has to be money coming into the game. And how is money going to come into the game when the whole game is being changed to electric? So the bottom line is that the idea that supplies could be tight, in our view, makes an awful lot of sense. And this stuff used to be, as you can see, this is only in the last year. It used to be 70, and it's only in the 50s. So if we were going to have a conversation a year from now, or even in the summer, are we going to be in the 40s, or are we going to be in the upper here? Now, if you go back on a long-term basis, you can see it's just turning. See, just turning, right? Could go back and forth a little bit, but that line looks like it's turning up. And if you look at a 20-year basis, again, just turning. Could come back down into this area, but this is a neighborhood, you know, that might not be bad. What do we got on a 1 year? How's the RSI? RSI is above 50. That's good. How are we doing on a 3 year? Okay. So again, RSI is looking good, and looks like there's some real estate above, and it pays a heck of a distribution. Then you know the stocks you can check out. You know Exxon, Chevron. Exxon says they're going to hold on to their dividend. Chevron, the Cadillac of energy stocks. Again, you know, we tend to look towards the ETFs so you're diversified, but you know their names: Kinder Morgan, ConocoPhillips, Phillips Petroleum, Occidental, you know, Halliburton, Schlumberger, you know, they're all out there. Again, when you get on our newsletter each week, we cover all this stuff, and you get on the newsletter for free, which I'll talk about at the end of the meeting. You put your email in, you get the thing updated to you weekly. Then we have a subscription situation. If you want specific ideas that we're looking at, that's how you get the specific ideas. But we give you a heck of a newsletter to give you the overview on what's going on in the world. So anyway, we just talked about the gold. We talked about the energy, talked about the precious metals. Again, I was going to go over, let's take a look at Apple. Everybody owns Apple. Let's see what Apple looks like. Apple is trying to go with Hyundai, and they might go with other people as well to come up with an electric car. Again, let's see what Apple went up to 145, and that's been the high, right? Okay, so until 145 is getting taken out, you know, that's the high, right? Now, right now, you're up here. It held the line pretty good. This is going back the last 3 years. Again, the direction of the moving average is very important. But again, you're up there making new highs, and the RSI is not making new highs. And so again, that gives you cause for concern, because this new high here was taken out, but the RSI is lagging. So that's a problem. So let's say you were in Apple and you go, you know what, option professor, I own Apple, and say I was concerned that there could be a pullback. I'll give you a couple of different scenarios. Let's say I'm into Apple and I think it's a good deal. Okay. So we see the moving average coming in at 115, right? So let's take a look at the options. So you go over here to option prices, and we're going to get some option prices. So we know resistance is 145, and it looks like support's about 115, basis to moving average. Okay. So what do you got for strikes? This is expiration this month. Let's go out to at the end of the first quarter. Okay. So let's go to April options, expiring on the 16th. Okay. And let's look at some striking prices. These are all near the money. We are going to go with show them all. So that's how you get all the options. You go to show all, and you get all of them. And it takes a second, because you're asking for all the series to come up. But again, what we're going to look at is two types of strategies. One is going to be called put writing, and that's a bullish strategy. And then we're going to talk about a collar strategy, which is a hedging strategy. And then we're going to talk about a sell put buy call strategy, where you take other people's money on the puts and you use it to buy your calls. All right, let's take a look at the strikes and see what we've got going. Okay, we know the highs have been 145, right? So let's say we don't think that 145 level is going to get taken out by much in the near term. So you're going to look at the 150 calls there, and you're going to see they're trading. I'm going to round this off. Let's say they're trading for $4. So you got 150 calls for $4. 145 calls are going for not that much different. So let's stick with the 150s and let's call it $4. Okay. Now let's get on the put side. ahead and see what's going on in the put side. Hold on here. Okay, these are the calls. Okay, and we're currently trading at 137, right? 136, 137. I'll also show you a bull call spread. The 140 calls are going for about 7. These are round numbers. Okay, trying to see something here. Are these the calls? I got to go up to get the puts. Let's go get the puts. Okay, the puts right now on the 115s. Let's go up to the one. Yeah, the one. Well, we go up to the 115s. We're gonna go for. Let's go up to the one. Let's go up to the 120s and 2.33. I'm gonna round that off to 2.5. So you got the 120s going for 2.5, and then you've got the one. I'm getting at 4. So what can I buy for 4? 130s are going for 4. For about 4 ballpark figure. What are they at? 130 puts. They're actually going for 5. Okay. All right. So here's the deal. Let's go back to the stock chart, and this will give you some example of some tactics. You can do this on any stock, as long as they're optionable. Okay. Here's your interactive chart. Ooh. Okay. So here you go. You got the stock trading at 137, right? And I'll give you a couple of ideas here. Here's another one. Oh boy. Let me get this interactive chart here. Just one more. Some people own the stock, right? And they've owned it for a while and it's gone way up. So they're saying to themselves, you know what? I don't know if I want to stick with this stock, but I don't want to be out in case it keeps going. So say you bought the stock at 100 during that drop, and now you're up $37 on the stock. If you're up $37 on the stock, what you could do up here is you could buy a call at 140, and it costs 7. Okay, let's get into a shorter term graph so you can see it here. I'll put it on a 3-year. Yeah. So again, you see the support is here at 130, 137 where we're at. The only reason you'd be concerned about getting out is you think it's going to blow out 140 and take off, right? So if you get out at 137 and say you bought it at 100, 137 minus 100 is you're up $37 on the stock. If you take $7 out of the $37 you're gained, you can replace. That's what they call a replacement trade, where you buy the calls at 140 for 7. You take the other $30 and you put it in your pocket. If this stock keeps going, you have the right to buy at 140. So if it jumps to 165, like some people say is the target price for it, or let's say 175 over at one company that I heard, Wedbush. If it goes to 175 and you are in there at 140, you got $35 of intrinsic value on what you paid $7 for. But if this thing goes into a corrective mode and the whole market has a correction, all you're going to be out is the $7 premium. The other $30 you took out of the stock is going to be in your pocket. That's a replacement trade. You can also do a replacement trade by putting on a call spread where you buy the 140 call for 7 and you sell the 150 call for 4, and that's a $3 debit. If it goes to 150 or better at expiration, you pick up $10 on $3. And if you're wrong, and if the market tanks, all you do is lose $3 a share and the other 37s in your pocket. So that's a replacement trade. And that's what people do when they think the markets are extended on the upside. They want to stay in the game, but they want to cut their cash risk way back. Okay. Now, the other thing they can do if they don't want to sell the underlying stock, then they could do what they call a collar. And in that instance, let me show you what you can do there. In there, you are going to be doing covered call writing. So you're long the stock at 137 and you think you want to give it a little room to 150. So you're going to sell the 150 call for $4. You're going to take the $4 and you're going to buy the 130 put, and that costs $5. So that'll cost you $1 out of pocket. $1 to insure the stock at 130. If the stock goes back down and goes down to 120, rather than losing $17 on the stock, you've got insurance at 130. So you got $10 of intrinsic value offsetting the $17 drop that would happen if we went down to 120. So that's not too shabby. And that's called a collar strategy. You sell the out of money call, which caps your gain on the upside, but then you buy the put with the premium down at 130, which puts a floor underneath your equity. Again, right now, no one would think Apple could ever drop, but after it came out with earnings, it did drop from 140, 138, whatever it was at, all the way down to what? 103. So, sometimes it does drop. And again, in this environment here where you're making a new high, but your RSI is not making a new high, that could be a warning sign. So there's a couple of different things there. Now, here's another one. If you're just a bull on Apple and you don't, that's all you care about is you think it's going to go higher, you could sell puts. And since we think the support's at 120, maybe you'd sell the 120 put and you get paid $2.50. Okay. For every two of them, for everyone you sell, it's 100 shares. So if you sold 10 of them, you'd get $2,500 and you'd be agreeing to buy $120,000 of Apple at 120. That's your agreement. Now you got $2,500 there. Okay. Well, the 150 calls are going for $4. So you can get six of those, or on the 140s, you could get about three or four of those using the premium of the 120s. So in this case, you take the premium on the 120 you receive and you go buy 400 shares at four calls at 140. If this 137 price starts going to 150, you're in 400 shares at 140. So that'd be $10 to the good on 400 shares is $4,000. That's a way of making $4,000 on a move to 150 using the money that somebody paid you down at 120. What's your risk? Again, that you got to buy the stock at 120 and you got the $120,000 to put up, or 50% of it anyway, if you're a margin trader at that point. So selling puts is not a bad strategy, especially in a rising market. In other words, looking at this thing in the last 3 years, well, let's just look at since the drop. You're looking at ever since the drop here, let's take a look here. This thing bottomed at $50. So once it starts rising, you start out and you use that as your defending point, right? You sell the 50 puts, keeps going up. You find a new defensive point. Maybe that's your new defensive point right here at about $65. So now you buy that one back. You move it up to the 65. Keeps going up. Now it's up at, what's it up to you now? Now it's up at 75. So you go from 65. You're still holding on to the 65. Once it goes into a new quadrant, like the 80s, you can move it up to 70, 75. You keep moving your put up and you're collecting premiums all the time. You have a big pullback here, but you got to give it room. Give it, how much is it dropping here? From 99 to what? 88, 10% drop. So give it 20% underneath and then you're in pretty good shape. Now, again, when it comes down sharply, you're going to get put stock. But is that a bad idea? Is that a bad deal? Say it came down sharply and they put stock to you here because the market was up at 138 and you sold the 110 puts. Well, they put stock to you at 110. So you had to hold on to it for a very short time and it was right back up for you. But Apple, every time it has had a big drop and the premiums get very big, selling the puts has not been a terrible idea, because your worst case scenario is you got to buy the stock. And buying this stock on a big pullback doesn't seem like a bad idea. But at least in the interim, if you don't own anything, you're collecting cash all the way up. So put writing on a stock like this has certainly been not a bad idea. One that had got hit very hard today is Qualcomm. And so I would be looking at the puts. And let's see what they're going for. Give you an example. First of all, is Qualcomm a good company? I think it's a pretty good company. They're having a little bit of problems with a shortage of chips, but that could get resolved. It's certainly breaking down pretty sharply here. Let's look at the longer term graph and see where the support might be. On a longer term, looks like 125 wouldn't be a bad area to use as a support zone. Let's see on a five-year basis where that number goes to. On a five-year basis, it looks like it's cracking. So you're going to look at the longer term charts now to come up with your support zone. But again, you know, this is a company that if you go look at the long term of it, it's been going pretty good big time ever since it broke above 95. Now, since it's had a big jump like this all the way up to as high as 170, looking at it from the breakout point, that's $80. If you took 60% of $80, you're probably talking about a $60 drop. So this thing could go down even lower, maybe as low as 100, if it has a full Fibonacci type of pullback. Anyway, you're looking right now at this. Let's look at some options and see what they're going for, because the implied volatility has got to be getting pretty good. And maybe you don't be the first man through the door. Maybe today's not the day to do it, but if it takes another $15 or $20 off, that would make it look pretty good. But first of all, you got to find a price that you're comfortable buying it at. And so basically we came up with two numbers, and one is the 120 area and the other one would be 100, 125 and 100. So implied volatility jumping pretty good to 31, and now these are calls, so let's look at the puts. A little late to be selling the calls probably. Okay, so the 120 puts, we gotta get the right month up here, hold on here, let's go out until April and see what's going on. Now let's go further out. June, you're selling a put out to June. That means you're making a commitment to Qualcomm. You're just looking for how heavy the premium is. Let's see how heavy the premium is. At the 120 mark, you're going to get almost $6. So you're willing to buy Qualcomm for 120 and they're giving you $6. And that means you're really buying it for 119, ballpark figure. Now, once you have that $6, you can hold on to it and you can use it for calls at some point, right? But you don't want to use it for calls right away, maybe because you're not sure it's dropped all the way yet. So the 120s are going for $6. To give you an idea, if we fell another $20, those would jump to 12 because that's what the 145s are going for. That gives you an idea. If we got another $20 drop, you could pick up the 120s for probably 125s, probably for 12, $14. Or if you want to be more conservative and go with the 100 strike, that's at $1.55. Again, if we go down $20, you'll be picking those up for $5 or $6. And now you're agreeing to buy Qualcomm for 100. Qualcomm does have a very good business and they are very much on the 5G deal. So, you know, not a bad company. Let's look at Peloton because that's going to be going down pretty big tomorrow. Okay, let's get a chart on Peloton. Well, they're showing Peloton is up because they're not showing the aftermarket. Let's get a chart going here, interactive chart. Okay, we're not going to go to any maximum here because this thing's only been cooking for a year. Well, let's take a look here. Yeah, it's down $12, down 8%. So this thing is trading in the 144 range. So you can forget about all these numbers up here and you can tune in because it's down here in the 144 land. If it takes out this 138, 140 area, that probably might be a very bad thing for Peloton. And looking on a short-term basis, so 1 month, maybe gave us a sell signal beforehand. Let's see. No, it was looking good all the time. It was looking good all through today. It was up $10 today. So basically it was up 7 today in the market and it's going to be down 12. So net-net, it's off about 5%. But again, Peloton does have a very good business. People are concerned after everyone gets out of there, it's not going to. Yeah, it's a little bit on the high side. So again, Peloton would be one if you really think it's got something going on this big drop. It did break through this 150s number, so that's no good. It's down testing the 144 and 140 area. So it's on the defensive. Hey, listen, I'm going to switch over here to some of these farmer stocks because I find this very intriguing. Again, you know, the chat rooms really, you know, if you're asking me my opinion is they're not going away, but they are going to be different. And the difference is going to be is they're not going to be able to get together and look for one thing and then all go in at the same time on something because that is considered price manipulation. And there are rules and regulations against that. And again, it's a free market system, but it's not a free for all. So if you are in these chat rooms, you got to get prepared for what might be coming down the pike, which is higher margins, which is some type of limitations on how this activity can go on because it's going to be deemed price manipulation. And the people who are going to enforce it are going to be the brokers. So the the Robin Hoods and the Interactive Brokers and the Schwabs and the Ameritrades, they're going to be talked to by the regulators and the regulators, just like they do with everything else. You got to know your customer. You got to know what they're doing and you got to watch what they're doing. And, you know, if they're shorting 150% of the stock that's out and they're using 10 times margin like the hedge funds, you're going to be responsible for that. Or if you see that a group of people are getting together and they're trying to jam the system, you're going to be responsible for that because they're clearing through you. So if I'm a guessing man, that'll be the next step because they know that the chat room, because of social media, is not going away. So they're going to have to find a way to make it part of the investment world so people can play ball, but they're not going to play ball in a way where they can jam the team with all the best players and jam the team with the best refs and have an edge that way. That's not an edge that the system is set up for. And ergo, that's the reason they called off. You know, again, Robinhood needed money because the winners have to be paid by the losers. And if the losers are on margin and they've lost more money than it's in their account, then they have got to be paid off by the clearing firms like Interactive Broker, that petted free guy, and Robin Hood. And those guys don't want to pay or don't have the money. That's a big problem for the system. And they don't want to be in the business of chasing down people that got wiped out and seeing if they can collect from them sometime in the next 20 years. So this is why they shut these things down at some point, because again, at some point it got so out of hand that the people that were losing money could very well be going on beyond their means. And then the brokerage firm's liable. And that's how Lehman Brothers happens. And that's how things like MF Global happens and things like that. Anyway, getting back to the game, here's some of the ones that I've been watching here. These are pharma companies. And again, these are not recommendations, but I find them as intriguing as everybody else. And so let me just show you a couple of them here and you get an idea on how they look and how I'm looking at them. What's my opinion on how to look at them? So let's take a look at the first one here, which is KPTT. If my machine will let me do that. Huh. KPPT. Go. Oh, hang on. Okay. Because these are very interesting. And I'm looking at the volumes have exploded on these things. There's short interest on these things. And so they are good. I'm just having a little problem getting these things to come up. Seems like the computer seems to be a little bit stuck on this thing here. Okay, maybe, okay, now it should be okay. Okay, KPTT, I'm sorry. That's probably why it wasn't coming up, huh? All right, I'm gonna go to the next one here, see if I can get the next one up. MGDL, wow. All right, I'm having some trouble with that, guys. So I'm gonna go over to another site and get some charts up here so you guys can take a look. Okay, hang on. And I'll show you how I would analyze it. This will be helpful to you. Okay, I have the symbol wrong on the first one, so that's my fault. Okay, here you go. You got 4.3 million shares here. You've got a situation where today was up 195. And the way I look at this thing is I go to the detailed quote. And on the detailed quote, it tells me that you have got the volume normally right here is 1 million. Look at the volume today, 4.39 million. You got the 50-day crossing over the what? The 200-day. It's having some resistance here, okay? But any kind of a pullback towards 3 might be a very interesting thing here. But the volume's coming in on this thing pretty good. And that's one right there. Another one that is pretty interesting is RCKT, pharmaceutical. This one's up $4 in the aftermarket. Volume was 509, but I think it's got pretty good short interest. Let me give you a little thing on that. Yeah, 13.77 short interest again. And so that's how some of the guys go after the short interest guys. As you can see, it's been going up pretty good. The volume today, 509,000. So the volume wasn't that great, but it does seem like it's getting a bid. And again, it is up $4 in the aftermarket, and today it was up 256. So that was somewhat interesting right there. Another one is, and there's other ones that are going to even be more severe here that I come up with. SAVA. Now this one got hit pretty hard today, but before that it had quite a run. So it has the recipe of something that gets going. As you can see, you got to keep an eye on it early on. And as you can see, the volume, as it gets bigger, you've got to start looking at it. And so this is one that had 47 million shares traded today, but you can see that the big move has already occurred and now it's coming back down, but it's down around 50 right now. So, you know, sometimes it can, maybe it'll come all the way into this gap and get going. Who knows? But that gives you an idea on some of these things and how they've been running. But it shows you the danger as well as the reward. It went from $1.63 to $1.17 today. Now it's collapsed. But again, this is why people are playing the game. $1.63 to $1.17 is a hell of a run in the last year. Another one. So that's one where the game has come and gone. Let's look at another one here. CRTX. This one here went from 26 to 73. It's up 238 in the aftermarket. And again, this one here had a big run, pulled back. But again, if you're following it, and you know, again, that this is the key. You start looking at this thing down here at 25. And if you start seeing the volume and it shows up on something, you know that you've got a nice trend line there connecting the lows. And then you're breaking out above here. You notice when it came back down, that was your buy right against that point there. And now it's had a big run. So you had a pretty good shot of getting into this thing for at least $20 a share, between 32.5 and 52.5. And of course, when it goes up parabolically and there's some resistance there, you got to be concerned of a rollover. And that's what happened here a little bit. Let me show you another one that seems to be on the charts with people. It's AVXL, which I understand has earnings coming out next week. Again, life sciences again. And this one's gone from $2 to 28 at one point today. And then it collapsed back down and then it came back up. So you're at up $4 today. You're down, that's 43% move. Let's take a look. So this is a wild ride. But again, these life science ones are the ones that seem to be getting the action. Look how many shares today, 116 million. So it seems to me the sector of Alzheimer drugs and Parkinson and oncology seems to be where there's been a lot of action going on. But it's a live by the sword, die by the sword kind of deal. But I mean, you can see why people are hunting for these things. $2 to 28 a heck of a run. And the volume, I mean, there's a lot of people playing this ball game. And today gives you an idea how quickly they can bounce around. A lot of people like to do these things through the options. Let's see if there's options on these things. There are options. So if you think the thing still has a chance to do something, you know, let's see what the options go for. Say you go out to July, get some time on the clock. $10 calls are going for $9. That's a $19 deal, limited risk. Or you could see if you can spread it. But the bid asks are very wide here. So it's hard to to spread. You know, you're buying at 10, selling at 7. So you hardly can play that game. That's the problem when the market gets volatile on something like this. The spreads get big, and that's a problem. Another one is VCHT, VCYT. And let's see what that one looks like. Okay, that one had 1 million shares trading. It was up $4. It's up a little bit in the aftermarket. I think they've got some things going on that could be interesting. But you can see that one looks like it's got something going on. And I do think, let's see if it has much of a short interest. 7%, not bad, not unbelievable. Now, here's another one that that we saw today. And this one may be very interesting, simply because it's close to zero. this company is in Norwood, Massachusetts, and there was a company that we were familiar with years ago called Immunogen in the same town. So I don't know if that means anything, but that's what's happened. So let's take a look at this thing and get an idea when I show you the chart here. This thing went all the way up to 10 here, and it obviously had some very bad news. Now, we're not experts on this stuff, I told you before. So it obviously, I'd have to look into exactly what caused it, but that's a heck of a big drop, right? So it goes down to 91 cents from 10, right? And then it bases out here. And now look at the volume, 28 million. And it's up in the aftermarket. And the most you could ever lose on it is $2.78. And look at that gap there. Now let's look at the short interest on it. I love them when they're single. Believe me, when Freeport MacMoran FCX went underneath $10, we were very, very interested, because a company like Freeport MacMoran, which is 90 million times different than this because it's a big company, but they've got something that's not going to go away. When you get a big company that's got something that's not going to go away, like metal, it really is such a it is such a green light when it gets down there, generally speaking. This one here has short interest of 20%. That's got to be helpful if they can get it to turn. And again, it's a small thing, it's a thin thing, so you got to be careful. And look, the moving averages are all over the place, but the volume used to be only 5 million a day, and it jumped all the way up to 11 on average for 50 days, and now it's doing 28. So, you know, it's either going to fall apart and you're out the 272, or it's going to have some legs one way or the other. The other one in that town, Norwood, that we had the experience with years ago, Immunogen, IMGN, you know, that thing goes all around too. And this thing went from $1.95 to $8, and it did 1 million shares here today, but that's not not that unusual. It does decent volume. But you can see, if you go back to the history of these things, sometimes when they get some good trials going or somebody gets interested in them, this is when we had an interest in it 20 years ago, actually more than that, but yeah, about 20 years ago, you know, somebody tells you to take a look at something, so maybe you take a shot, and it goes all the way up here, but then boom, down here, but then, you know, it goes back and forth, and it seems like when it gets down to these low numbers here of single digits, you know, $2-3, it's time to take a shot at it. So I don't know if the other one's going to work out the same way, but that's why they call it speculation, and that's what makes it interesting. So that is one that we have taken a look at. You know, during the week, to give you a better idea of what the weekly update's all about, is we're talking about much more large money, much more serious stuff using the ETFs and large companies. And we basically go through the entire gauntlet of investing, which means we give you ideas on income, we give you ideas on growth, and we give you ideas on speculation. So again, we give you ideas on what the S&P is going to do, the NASDAQ. We give you ideas on what we think crude oil is going to do. Agriculture. Look at agriculture. Soybeans used to be at 8, went all the way up to 14, 16. Crude oil used to be minus 37. It's at 56. You know, these are the things that we keep you up to date on. Gold broke out at 13, 1400, ran up to 2100. We keep you abreast of that. Silver broke out at 18. We were all over it, gave you that information. You could have got on that by listening to and watching the newsletter. We had the coffee market underneath 100. It's now at 124. It went to 137. We had the sugar market going at 1250. It's at 16. So, you know, we're giving you, and we have the dollar index selling it at 100 and 104, and the dollar index went all the way down here to 88, and we said buy it around 90 and bounce, look for the bounce, and it did. We talked about the euro at 110 being a great bargain and having resistance at 125. That's exactly what's been going on. And so we keep you abreast, and of treasury bonds, we said we had a blow-off top at 180 back back in March, and that was a blow off top and time to be selling bonds. And now they're at 167. So we keep you up to date on a lot of different things, and it's all free of charge. You simply go to optionprofessor.com, OptionProfessor.com. You put in your email address, and then bingo. Every week you'll get the free update that we give you. And then, of course, if you'd like to subscribe, that's where we get into the particulars on each area, on where we think it's a good time to look at, here, there, everywhere. We've had some very good information that we provided in 2020, and we're off to a very good start here in 2021. So again, it's been very good to be with you tonight. You've had a very long day with a lot of different people. I do hope that you do take advantage of getting the free weekly update, because being in this thing for decades, we do think we have some value-added information to help you from time to time, generically on the general market, and sometimes with specific opinions and observations that we have. OptionProfessor.com. We'll see you guys soon. I'm going to turn it back over to David. David, thanks a lot for having me, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jim.